So I'd like to introduce to you our youth speaker for this Sunday, Jake Horton. I've been working alongside of him and helping him put together a lesson. I've had him speak many times at a youth group in Sunday school, and I'm just really proud of all that he's doing here. So thank you, Jake.
Good morning. Now, I know what you're thinking. I thought Chris was on sabbatical. He is. Today we're going to be in the book of Jonah, and I know what you're thinking. You only chose Jonah because it has the most killer VeggieTales episode of all time. You'd be 100% correct. That's why I chose Jonah. No, I chose Jonah because it has so much spiritual truth, and it's one of those books that kind of gets overlooked. So before we really get into the message, I do want to say Happy Mother's Day. I hope that we can use this service as a way to show the utmost love and appreciation that we have for you guys. I know that I myself have an incredible mother who's taken care of me so much during these times. So we just want to show that appreciation. So before we get into Jonah, I do have a quick video clip to show you guys.
What? Nineveh? I'm not aware of any Ninevehs in Israel. No, I don't think... You mean that Nineveh?
That Nineveh wasn't in Israel at all. It was the capital of Assyria, and it was the biggest, meanest city around. Now, the people of Nineveh were particularly mean to Jonah's people, the Israelites. They lied, they stole, but worst of all, they slapped people with fishes. They even slapped each other with fishes. They didn't know the difference between right and wrong. The Ninevites were so mean, in fact, that most Israelites, including Jonah, wished God would just wipe Nineveh off the face of the earth! Needless to say...
Alright, so as you can probably tell from that incredible video clip, like I said, we're going to be in the book of Jonah today, but we're not just going to take one specific passage from it, from one specific chapter. I'm going to bounce around passages in the chapters and just go through the full story of it. Don't worry, I'm not going to stand up here and read the entire book. So we're going to start by reading Jonah 1 through 10, if you would turn with me in your Bibles. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind down the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. They threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? And from what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them so. So in this passage, God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh, which, if you couldn't tell from the VeggieTales episode, is not somewhere you wanted to go. You see that they slap people with fish, and they're just brutal. Obviously, this is vastly different from what the people of Nineveh were actually like. Nineveh is mentioned quite a few times in the Bible, but the common reasoning, the common theme in their appearances is that it's a city full of wicked people, a city full of people turned away from God. So Nineveh, like I said, is mentioned quite a few times in the Bible, and the whole reason God wanted to send Jonah there was to reform them. He wanted them to change. Because like the video said, the people of Israel, including Jonah, wanted Nineveh destroyed. And we'll learn later in the book that God was going to. So Jonah runs away from the Lord. He makes an attempt to escape. And this is a perfect example of our faith. Every single day we're faced with choices that God gives us that are ones that we don't want to make. We're faced with decisions that we don't want to make. And a lot of the times we trust the Lord because we love him, because we have faith, but sometimes we do exactly what Jonah did, and we run away. So Jonah runs away from God and decides that his best option is just to get on a boat and sail away. In that moment, Jonah believed that he could escape God. And growing up in Sunday school and youth group, you're always taught that God is with you all the time, that God is an ever-present being. So when we read Jonah and we see his attempts to escape God, we know it won't end well. And it didn't. So Jonah's on the ship and a huge storm comes and the man asks Jonah, what did you do to anger God? And Jonah knew exactly what he had done. In that moment, he realized that he could not escape God. So Jonah jumps overboard knowing that this would end the storm. The sailors used him as a sacrifice knowing what he had done. Jonah 1:17 reads, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Even though Jonah threw away his trust in the Lord, threw away his faith in the Lord, God still saved him. Without that fish, Jonah is going to die. He would have drowned. And God had every right to let him die. He turned away from the Lord. He ran away from the Lord. He threw away his faith in the Lord. God had every single right to let him stay in that ocean and die, but he didn't. He sent a giant fish to swallow him. I'm in no way saying that being in the belly of this fish was a pleasant experience for Jonah. It certainly wasn't, but it kept him alive. So now we've arrived at one of the most important points in the story of Jonah, his prayer inside of the fish. So if you'd all turn with me to Jonah 2, 2 through 10. He said, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very hearts of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So Jonah prays to God, and in this moment he admits what he has done. This is exactly what God wanted from Jonah. The second Jonah tried to run away, the second Jonah tried to escape God, all God wanted out of Jonah was confession. And that's one point that I want to drive home today, is confession. And how important it is, how much value that one word holds in our faith. And you see its power right then and there. The second he finishes his prayer of confession, the second that he tells the Lord what he's done and tells the Lord that he's sinned, he's on dry land. He's out of the fish's belly. Now, he didn't just get up and walk out of it. He was literally vomited out of the fish and thrown onto dry land. But he was on dry land and safe. And that shows the power of how important confession is and how much God values that. And he recognizes in that prayer that the only reason he is alive is because of God. Because God knows everything you do and think about, but in order to grow in your faith, you have to confess. There is no growth in your faith without confession. There is also no true forgiveness without confession, because God's forgiveness is earned, not given. God's forgiveness is earned, not given. He will forgive you for everything you have done against him as long as you confess. And Jonah is a perfect example of this. So once Jonah is safe on dry land, God again tells him to go to Nineveh. This time, Jonah obeys. Now, Nineveh was insanely big, and the Bible says it took about 3 days for Jonah to fully get through it. Jonah 3:4 reads, "Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown." This warning was the whole reason why God wanted Jonah to go in the first place. And that just shows the compassion of God. So when you think about it, we all know that God has the power to wipe a city off the face of the earth in 5 seconds. Nobody would even know it existed. Especially a city like Nineveh that was so wicked and so turned against him that he had every right to do it, but he didn't. Why? Because he is a compassionate God. Hence the title slide. If Jonah doesn't go and give that warning, they don't reform. God destroys the city. But not only did he give them a warning, he gave them 40 days. It's not just 24 hours and you're gone. Right, it's 40 days to reform, to turn back to God. Okay. So this message reached the king of Nineveh, and obviously he was frightened. He began to realize that God was capable of wiping out his city and all his people. He then gave a proclamation to the people of his city. Jonah 3, 7 through 9 says, "This is the proclamation he issued to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let the people and the animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently upon God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." From the beginning of the story of Jonah, this is what God wanted. This is the exact reason why God made the efforts he did to get Jonah there. Because think about the efforts he did make. Jonah ran away, threw away his faith, and he's on a boat. So what does God do? Creates a storm, destroys the boat. Jonah is in danger of drowning, and what does he do? He sends a fish to save him. He took extreme efforts to stop Jonah from running away, because if God had let Jonah run away, if God had let him get off scot-free with just trying to escape his wrath and go away in a boat, then Jonah would live the rest of his life as a Christian, believing that he could escape God whenever he wanted to. That is why we face punishment for turning away from the Lord. That is why we face those consequences. When we run away from the Lord, we do. We wonder why. It's because, not because God is mad at you, not because God is trying to spite you, but because God is trying to teach you that you cannot run away from him, that you cannot escape him. And he knew that Jonah was the one who could save these people from their own wicked and evil ways. Because God is not an inescapable being. God is an all-seeing being. And he knew exactly what Jonah could do for the city of Nineveh. And he knew all he had to do was get Jonah there. And he did. Jonah 3:10 reads, "When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened." This one verse alone holds some of the most spiritual truth and application in the Bible. We can fall so far away from God, even farther than the people of Nineveh did. Okay? Even farther than the people of Nineveh did, and we can still be saved. If we repent, if we turn back to the Lord, then we will be forgiven. And that all comes back to the idea of confession. I mentioned at the beginning that Jonah gets overlooked. Okay? For a couple of reasons. It's very short, it's only 4 chapters. But also, it's a part of the Old Testament. It doesn't get preached on as much. Okay. So when I was thinking about what I wanted to preach on today, when I was thinking about why I wanted to preach on whatever I was going to, I wanted to pick something that holds so much spiritual truth, but you might not have heard a sermon on it in a long time. Just out of curiosity, how many people within the last year have heard a sermon on Jonah? Okay, that's about what I thought. It gets overlooked. Why? You read the book and you hear the words that God is putting in my mouth now, and you say, why? It holds so much spiritual truth in our lives, and you can read the book. It's not just a story about a guy and a fish. It's a story about forgiveness, confession, compassion, spiritual growth. As most of you know, this is not where the story of Jonah ends. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 read, "But to Jonah this seemed very, very wrong, and he became very angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.' At this point, Jonah reveals another reason for not wanting to go to Nineveh. He knew that God would spare the city if he warned them of God's wrath. Jonah knew just as well as we do in this room, okay, that God would save them. And he knew that his warning would prevent them the destruction. But like I said in the beginning, like the VeggieTales video mentioned, Jonah believed, okay, that Nineveh deserved the wrath they were facing. Jonah believed that the city was so wicked, that the city was so turned away from God, that there was no saving them. But we know that God doesn't turn his back on anyone. Even though we may believe he should, we have no right to be angry when he doesn't. God does not turn his back on the wicked. Because guess what? Everybody in this room was wicked at one point. And did God turn his back on you? No, he didn't. And will God turn his back on you? No, he won't. He won't. So when you look at Nineveh, a city so far away from God, a city so wicked and evil, and God looks at that and he says, I am not giving up on you yet. And he gives him that chance. It shows how gracious, how compassionate, how incredible of a God we serve. We can be so wicked, but yet he will not turn his back on us. To summarize the rest of the chapter in the book, God tells Jonah that he has no right to be angry. Jonah goes and he sits in a place just east of Nineveh, and God provides him a plant for shade. Obviously, it's very hot where Jonah was sitting, and he was feeling weak and faint, with the sun beating down on his head, and obviously he was very happy about the plant. But then the next day, God provided a giant worm that came and ate the plant. I mean, like I said, Jonah was obviously very happy about the plant, and he felt very weak once again once it was taken away. He again pleaded for death, saying in verse 8, it would be better for me to die than live. God again asked Jonah if it is right for him to be angry about the plant, and Jonah again says yes. Verse 10 reads, but the Lord said, you have been so concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight, and it died overnight. He goes on to say in verse 11 that he had great concern for Nineveh and had a right to. He had a right to. This just further proves the point of how compassionate of a God we serve. Like I mentioned before, he doesn't turn his back on anyone. And he says in this verse that he had not given up on Nineveh. God did not want to destroy Nineveh. But he knew his power. And he knew that if the people of Nineveh heard that he was going to, then they would reform, and they did. So as we wrap up the story of Jonah, if there's anything I'd want you to take away from my message today, it would be this. Do not be afraid when the Lord calls on you to do things you don't want to do. Instead, have faith in the Lord that he has created a path that will lead you to eternal happiness, and you follow it without hesitation. Bring your sins to the Lord, bring your troubles to the Lord, and confess. Without confession, there is no true forgiveness. If there is anything on your heart right here, right now, whether it be a confession or a prayer for someone in your life or anything you're holding on your heart, bring it to the Lord. Okay. Confession is so important, okay? I spoke a couple months ago at youth group, okay? And that was one of the messages that I wanted to hit home as well as confession, because I've had a lot of personal experience with this topic. In reading Jonah, I knew it was perfect for today. So I'm going to have the worship team come up and be playing some background music, but I want you to just, you can stay where you are, you can stand, you can stay sitting, you can come to the front, but no matter what you do, just sit down with the Lord, confess, pray. Okay, we're going to have a time of an individual prayer and confession for about 5 minutes or so. All right. And then I'll pray us out. We'll go into our final song. All right. Just bring your sins to the Lord. Bring your confessions to the Lord. All right. We are a people who make mistakes. We are a people who constantly go against what God tells us to do. He doesn't care. Use this time right here, right now, and tell him. Dear God, we are a people who go against you, God. We are people who do not deserve your love, and yet you give it to us no matter what, Lord. You are a compassionate God, a loving, a forgiving, a caring God. There's absolutely nothing in the world that we have done to deserve this, but we get it. I pray for this congregation, Lord, for all the prayers being lifted up to you right now. No matter what it is, God, I pray that you lay a hand of healing on this congregation. You lay a hand of forgiveness on this congregation. I want to thank you for the opportunity I've been given to stand up here and not give my message, but give yours, Lord. Pray that as we enter our final worship song, God, that we can just continue to praise you, God, for the wonderful, incredible, loving, caring God that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.